Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I think I've had like almost 300 orgasms so far this year, something like that. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I am on testosterone, so my orgasms are a magical adventure.
Interesting. There's this book called, Oh, The Intimate History of the Orgasm, which is amazing, and I suggest all sex nerds read it. But one of the things...
I bought it because you told me to. Yeah, it's over there.
Yeah, it's very good. The author posits that testosterone is the most influential substance in human history because it's influenced the way we interact sexually, and it's influenced wars and stuff like that. I think that's pretty interesting.
Interesting. Now I want to read it.
Yeah, you should.
Because I don't read books, I just buy them.
Yeah, no, I get that. So today we're talking orgasms, which occurred to me as a topic because we spent so long talking about faking orgasms last week when we talked about exhibitionism, and I was like, oh, we actually haven't talked that much about coming. Like, we talked a lot about the various things that lead up to it, but yeah.
Yeah, and you just kind of, I don't even think you, like, asked. You were just like, we're recording this week and it's on orgasms. And I was like, great, sure, sounds good. And then you sent me, like, some of the ideas on what we were going to talk about this episode. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have feelings. Oh, I have so much to say. Because I realized I haven't really gotten nerdy with you about, like, how my orgasms and how my bits have changed at all, really. So I have a lot of, like, new information to tell you, and it's exciting.
Let's get into it. I wanted to know if you remember your first orgasm.
So here's the thing. No. So I remember a lot of how I came to being a sex nerd was... shut up. was through nerding out about sex because I had never had an orgasm, and I wanted to, and I wanted to know what it felt like, and I didn't understand why I hadn't had them, because I didn't, like, jerk off as a kid. Sex was intellectually interesting, and I didn't masturbate until someone was like, my first girlfriend was like, you should do that, and I was like, oh, I mean, all right. I was, like, 17, like, or 16, whatever. So, like, I didn't stumble across orgasms. I knew what they were, and they fascinated me, so I tried to experience them, which meant I had a lot of cultural messages around orgasms before I had tried to have one.
Mm-hmm.
And Joellen Noddy has a really good article about this that I'll find and link in the show notes about how, like, culturally we get these images of orgasms as explosive, and you get this narrative, like, if you don't know if you've had an orgasm, you definitely haven't had an orgasm, okay? And it's, like, this condescending grossness. And I was very much in that camp of, like, well, I don't know. So I kind of, my experience with orgasms was more of an evolution and more of a, like, oh, I guess these muscle contractions I've been having are orgasms. They're just, like, small and, like, the little hills on a roller coaster. And it was more gradual of learning how to have more and more and more and more intense orgasms over time, rather than just like, oh my god, what is this thing that just racked through my body and everything exploded in fireworks? What about you?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I love that article of Joellen's as well, because, like,
I know
my orgasms are pretty big and pretty explosive and, like, standard in that way, like, according to, like, cultural tropes of what orgasms are, quote, supposed to look like. Like, I've had, like, partners tell me, wow, you have really great orgasms. They look very intense. But then there are other ones that I have sometimes where I am like, I am not totally sure if I just had an orgasm. And so I found that article really interesting because, yeah, people are always like, oh, if you had one, you would know. And that's, like, really shaming and shitty. But yeah,
when she wrote that piece, I was like, oh my God, this, yes.
Yeah, Joellen's super smart. My first orgasm happened when I was 9. I think we talked about this a bit in our masturbation episode, but that was so long ago. I used to use the bathtub faucet to masturbate with, and I was, like, a super sex nerd even at age 9. Like, we had just recently gotten the internet in my house, and I was already doing research and knew what masturbation was and what orgasms were. I also had this book that my mom had given me, which had really honest, awesome information about all that stuff. And I remember one day I was like playing in the bath, as I usually did, with my clit under the faucet, and it all kind of like built up and coalesced into this orgasm. And I was immediately like, oh, I know what that is. I know it just happened. And I was really proud of myself, and it was great. Do you remember your first time having an orgasm with a partner?
So, see, it was the same deal. Like, I really didn't start exploring my sexuality until I was already with a partner. Because I was just like, oh, I have a partner. This is when I do the sex thing now. Let me figure out how that works. Which, for the rest of you out there, it's actually... And I read all of the books, and all of the books were like, you should masturbate and learn your body first, and then try and do things with a partner. And I was like, psh, nah! No, the books are right, y'all. Like... years of sex researchers actually know better than 17-year-old me, who'd have fucking thought. But it was kind of the same deal where it was, like, slowly kind of an evolution of, like, learning to orgasm with partners. I do distinctly remember, so the partner I was with during all of that time was someone I was with him for about 6 years, and it was most of my formative sexual experiences were with this person, but we did not have sex that often, and it was actually, like, really difficult relationship for me. I've talked about it on the show before, and I was doing a lot of sexual exploration on my own, and I remember one time, like, way later in our relationship, we had, you know, I'd been having sex for a while, I'd been having orgasms for a while, like, I was past that whole, kind of saga, but I was using my Mona 2 with him, and we hadn't had sex in a while, and I came, and I squirted, like, everywhere, like, a lot, and he was like, whoa, that was a lot, like, was really surprised, and, like, I had this moment of, like, shit, I've been doing that for, like, 2 years. That's not new. Like, where have you been? And, like, it was just this moment of, like, oh, you are so much not a part of my sex life anymore, huh? Because that's just a thing that happens. Like, I didn't think to warn him. I didn't think. It was like, oh, well, interesting. Great.
Yeah, your sexual part of your relationship might not be going too well if your partner is surprised by what your orgasms look like.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh, hey, yeah, I do that. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what I said, too, because he was like, whoa, and I was like, oh, yeah, that happens.
I had my first orgasm with a partner, actually the first time I ever had sex with a partner, which I gather is pretty uncommon for people with vaginas. I was quite blessed. And it's, like, weird to me to think about now because I almost never come the first time with someone now, which is something I'm trying to work on. Because usually if I don't come with a partner, it's because I'm not giving them the information that I know they need. But that first time, a friend of mine went down on me when I was 16 and made me come in, like, 7 minutes. Like, it was so fast for me. I think probably just because, like, when you've spent your entire life up till then using fingers and a vibrator and then suddenly there's a mouth on you, like, that's pretty intense and pretty different. So that worked pretty quickly.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think now our... So, yeah, now I think we're kind of in a space where you definitely have a really good understanding of how your body and your orgasms work, and it's a matter of, like, communicating that feedback and everything. And I had gotten to that point, too, and then last week of May, first week of June, I think, I started testosterone. And now everything is different, and I'm all the way back in that, like, learning how my body and my orgasms work kind of space, which is cool and weird and not quite sure how I feel about just yet.
So, like, what used to be the most reliable path to orgasm for you, and, like, how has that changed now?
So it used to just be vibes. Like, vibes were the only thing that got me off. Manual stimulation, at least on myself, did almost nothing. I could get a little bit more there with a partner, and that was only if they were, like, fingering me internally, but, like, my clit was like, lol, fingers, aw. That's cute that you think I care. And my clit was very small, like, to the point where, like, you could be face-to-face with it and be like, I think that's a clit? Maybe? In there somewhere? It's not in there. Clits are not in the vagina. Okay.
And they're not the size of a grain of rice.
Oh, for those of you that follow us on Twitter, that's a relevant joke.
I found this ridiculous sex guide where this man posited that the clit is the size of a grain of rice and also inside the vagina. And I think he meant in the vulva, which is true, but, like, the clit's much bigger than that, especially if you consider the internal portion. Anyway, proceed.
And that's not the first person I've heard think it's in the vagina either. I don't understand.
Like, what are you doing? What textbook have you read? I'm so confused.
Have I ever told you, so when I first started having sex, well, like, making out and fingering,
that can be
my
sex.
First girlfriend, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was sex for me at that time? With my first girlfriend, I didn't know, like, where clits were, and I couldn't figure it out on my body, because what felt good to me was penetration. I didn't play with my clit, like, mm-hmm. whatever. So I actually went to the bodies, I went on a field trip to the bodies exhibit in South Street Seaport, where they have, like, actual bodies on display so you can see anatomy and organs and everything. It's a really, like, amazing exhibit. I don't know if it's still a thing. I went a couple of times. But they would have, like, entire nervous systems laid out and everything, and you could see how the body worked. Mm-hmm. And it was fascinating. But there was a whole, like, sexual science section, and I was just, like, doing that, like, high school kid thing where you, like, walk past the vulva and you back up and you walk past again. And I'm just, like, glancing for, like, the little arrow that says clitoris. And I'm like, memorize this, commit it to memory. But the problem is it was just, like, a pelvis sitting there. So I couldn't tell which side was up. So I got confused and I thought the clit was closer to the butt than the front. I had a whole moment. It's fine. I've figured it out now.
I make fun of, like, 90s stand-up comedians who did shticks about, like, not being able to find the clit, because I'm always like, oh my god, like, that's like saying you can't find the dick. Like, it's, like, right there. But I also realize that I have clit privilege of sorts, which is, like, my clit, I wouldn't describe it as big. I once actually, like, asked a past partner of mine to tell me if he thought I was, like, small, average, or large, because I really had no idea, and he told me I'm average, but, like, I guess there are people with, like, smaller clits than me who maybe it would be harder to find. But to me, I'm just like, it's the thing that, like, is right there and, like, sticks out and, like, gets hard when you touch it. Like, I don't understand how you cannot know where that is.
Yeah. No, my clit is on my body and I couldn't find it half the time.
Yeah.
Like, it was tiny. Like, that is a fully, like, valid thing for me. And also, I was playing with a person who, like, we were mostly playing through panties and everything.
Hmm.
So, like,
that makes
I wasn't,
harder.
Like, sitting down and staring at it. Like, so I was just like, oh, everything's wet and squishy. So, anyway, but now, after being on testosterone, and so what got me off was just a vibe on my bits. Almost always penetration, some sort of G-spot stim, something like that. What felt really good and dynamic for me and, like, the fun part of it, of jerking off, was usually penetration.
Mm-hmm.
And then the clit stim is what would, like, get me over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
But that was mostly just, like, a magic wand on my bits. And now, after starting testosterone, physically, your clit grows.
Mm-hmm.
Mine grew a lot.
Like the Grinch, but for genitals.
Yes. especially because I've been using a clit pump pretty consistently. I was using it every day for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know for sure that helped my junk grow faster, but I have a lot of theories that it did, and that's kind of why I was doing it. Now, I would say maybe my clit is, like, an inch and a half long, especially if I pump it up, and I can actually, like, wrap my fingers around the shaft and jerk off,
mm-hmm.
In a way that I couldn't do, and I can, like, pull the hood back and, like, jerk off along the shaft that way, or play with the head of my clit that way, and it's, like, a small dick, and you can engage with it more that way,
mm-hmm.
So now things with my fingers actually feel really, really good. Interesting. Various forms of, like, you know, pinching or tugging and, like, stroking. And instead of using the magic wand to, like, vibrate my entire vulva, I've been using a finger vibe on one side, the Tenga SVR ring, which I'm obsessed with. Mm-hmm. I think I'm actually going to buy a second one.
I need one, too. It's really fucking good.
Yeah. And I take that, and I have that on my finger on one side, and will, like, kind of jerk off between the vibe on one side and a finger on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. So I've become a little more focused on my clit during masturbation. It's still a lot of penetration and thrusting and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been able to, like, engage more with my clit and, like, kind of play with more sensations that way, which is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then my orgasms in the past would be, like, I was really, really prone to multiple orgasms, and they would be kind of rapid fire, and I would have a lot of little ones, and then one that would be like, oh, and that is the one where we're done. Like, that is the end one.
Yeah.
And it felt like that. It felt like I would have other ones where I'm like, I came, but I'm not done. and then other ones where I could keep going and come again, but it was more effort.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that one could be the one where I'm finished. Now I have almost exclusively, like, the big ones, and they last for a little while, but then I'm usually done, or it will take me a second to kind of rally and keep going, and I mm-hmm. have to, like, have a conscious decision to keep going. So that's interesting, 'cause it's, like, I don't know how I feel about how it changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, because, like, this way is also good. I do have times where sometimes it's harder for me to get off at all, though. There are other times where, like, I can't get to that one big one, and I'm like, ugh, what happened? Hmm. Body!
That's so interesting, because it sounds like your orgasms are tending more towards what mine are like, which are, like, bigger ones, not so prone to multiples, and sometimes difficult to achieve. And that makes me wonder if it's, like, some kind of difference in physiology or body chemistry or something that causes those things. I've always been, like, really interested in, like, the physiology of orgasm, because, like, as much as I'm a sex nerd, that's one thing that I don't know a lot about and don't really understand. Like, I don't know why some days it's harder for me to come than others, aside from, like, sensitivity variances and stuff like that. And, like, I actually just recently ordered this book about the physiology of orgasm because I want to get a little nerdy about the science so I understand that a little better, because, like, it is frustrating to sometimes not know why something just isn't working or why something is so easy one day and so hard another day. It's, like, very confusing to me.
Yeah, and I'm just fascinated with the whole, like, process of what happens in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this, there really is nothing else that has that same, like, feeling of release, like, mm-hmm. buildup of tension, and then it all, like, releases all at once in a way that is, like, nothing else replicates that, and it's fascinating to me, and I want to, like, there's some, like, tenuous science about the reasons behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, evolutionarily it feels good, so we keep doing it. But, like, beyond that, I think it's really interesting in, like, all of the stuff that goes on in the body and why and how and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, when you're saying there's nothing else like it, I actually have found a few other things that are similar to me but don't quite get to the point of, like, an actual orgasm. But I do have that sensation of, like, rising tension, building, etc., which are, like, one of the things is, like, deep breathing that's, like, in an orgasmic style. So, like, Barbara Corellis wrote this book called Urban Tantra, where she talks about the breath and energy orgasm, and it involves, like, breathing into your chakras and stuff like that. And I actually tried, and I did get that, like, building sensation that I get on my way to orgasm, but there was no actual orgasm. I just got, like, super turned on. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I notice is sometimes in a spanking scene with a top who, like, really knows my body and really knows what I like, if they're, like, building up the pain in a steady rhythm, sometimes I get that feeling in my body of, like, a rising tension that feels like it's, like, building towards something. But for me, it's never quite reached an orgasm, but I do think it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I get those. More what I was saying was there's not something, like, completely divorced from sex mm-hmm. that works the same way in the body. Yeah. Like, when you get really, really hungry and get food, like, it's not the same kind of... You know what I mean? Like, there's no other biological imperative thing that operates the same way. Like, being super hungry and being super thirsty and being super tired,
mm-hmm.
those are all needs, and they feel a very different way.
Yeah.
Than, like, that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just fascinating to me.
I also find when I'm stoned and I listen to, like, really beautiful orchestral music, sometimes I do get that sensation of, like, a rising feeling of excitement. It's very weird. I like to do it sometimes as foreplay for masturbation because it's kind of great. But yeah, like, talking about finding a reliable path to orgasm, yeah, I think, like, this is one of the greatest things I've gained from being a sex nerd is, like, a really detailed knowledge of what works for me to the point that I'm, like, able to tell partners now what they need to do, which I didn't always have that skill. Like, for example, like, I've gone back and forth a lot on whether I like receiving oral sex, because when it's bad, it does fucking nothing for me. Like, it's really bad. And when it's good, it's, like, highly effective. And it took me a while to, like, figure out what good
is. Super effective?
Yeah, I got one hit KO'd. Because I've only had, like, I think I've had sex with, like, 26 people at this stage, and only 4 of them have ever gotten me off from oral. So when you have, like, that small of a sample size, it's hard to be, like, to, like, figure out what they all had in common in terms of their techniques. But now I'm at a point where I can actually tell someone how to get me off with their mouth. They just have to, like, fucking pay attention, with not everybody does, so. But yeah, I'm about the penetration, too. I need the clit and the penetration. It's very important. So on the topic of, like, multiple orgasms and, like, refractory periods, etc., I have noticed that if it's been a long time since I last came, and by a long time, I mean, that's relative to how often I usually come, so a long time for me might be, like, 3 days, it's much easier for me to come if it's been a while, but also the trade-off there is that usually the orgasm is not as good. Like, it's, like, so easy that I almost, like, want to put it off. I'm like, no, I'm not ready to come yet. Like, it's it's just too easy.
Can we talk about edging? Because I know you were going somewhere else, but can we talk about edging?
Oh, I have opinions about edging. What are your edging opinions?
Go on, tell me. Well, no. I'm excited. You tell me yours first.
Okay, so everybody says that edging, not everybody, but most people who talk about edging say that with each progressive time that you almost come and then back off and then do that again, that your eventual orgasm gets stronger. I have always found for my body, it works the opposite way, which is like, when I have a dommy partner who hints that they're into, like, orgasm control or orgasm denial, I have to be like, I'm sorry, I don't like that. Because what ends up happening is my eventual orgasm is, like, a lot weaker. It tends to be stronger for me if I just, like, rush towards it and go right into it. And I don't know why that is. Like, my body seems to be opposite from what everyone says about edging. But what are your edging opinions, Bex?
So I do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Edging is a big part of what I'm playing with my sir.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that there is a tipping point for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can only edge for so long. And then if I hit, like, if I have to stop again, there is always, like, one stopping point where I'm like, all right, you know what? We're done. We're done. It's just, my body's just like, I guess we're done. No, it's fine. Like, my body just gives up, and I'll be like, go to keep jerking off. And my body's like, Oh, you think we're doing it this time? No. Like, I will not be fooled again, okay?
That's amazing.
And then I have to kind of coax it and be like, no, body, I promise. We're going to be allowed to come. It's fine. We'll get there. And, like, then I'm, like, begrudgingly dragging my arousal along, and it's like, fine, okay. I still don't trust you. But I really enjoy it, and I do find sometimes, for me, because sometimes I'll edge myself solo, too, and for me, it's more like I find myself getting close, and I'm like, no, but, like, I wasn't done with the jerking off part yet. Like, this is still fun and feels good,
mm-hmm.
so I'm gonna keep doing this, and then kind of back myself off. But it's not so much when I enjoy it with my sir, it's not so much a, like, sensation thing. It's not, sometimes it'll have my orgasm build, but usually more I'm just really enjoying the power dynamics with it.
Mm-hmm.
And having to ask to come and being told no and all of that. That's hot to me, not so much the physical sensation of, like, this building and denial.
Yeah, this is what troubles me about this, is that, like, psychologically and kink-wise, I'm very much into orgasm control and denial and edging. Like, I really love those when I read them in fanfiction and erotica, and I love them in porn. And it's just, like, my own body doesn't seem to want to get down with that, which is frustrating. I wonder if there's a way that I could work that into a kink scene and only have kind of the psychological kink part of it and not actually physically do the thing. I don't know quite what that would look like, but yeah. I've had partners who, like, knew this about me who would kind of be like, you're not allowed to come until I say so, but then they would always let me, like, as soon as it was gonna happen, which is kind of the only way that I can, like, find a happy medium there, because...
Yeah, but you still gotta ask first.
Yeah, but, like, sometimes I'm not so good at asking. You know, sometimes it just happens.
Yeah, I have slipped up maybe twice in all of the time I've been doing this. I get in so much trouble.
I also, like...
Well, no, maybe more than that. Maybe I slipped up, like, 4 or 5 times, but... Only 2, like, big ones. Like, one, I asked permission to jerk off and didn't get it, and then did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You get in so much trouble when you do things like that.
Yeah.
My
other issue is I have what is known as, or I get what is known as blue clit, which I imagine is, like, relatively common. But it seems to me that usually the discourse around blue genitals, whatever, is relegated to people who have penises. But I totally get blue clit if I, like, get close to coming and then don't come, which is also a thing I've had to explain to dommy partners. I'm like, I know you think it's fun to just, like, get me really close and then not finish the job, but, like, that's not fun for me. Like, that's physically uncomfortable. I definitely don't go to the extent that some dudes do, where they turn it into, like, a manipulation tactic, which is unacceptable, where they're like, but I'm gonna have blue balls if you don't finish me off. It's like, no, you have the ability to jerk off. But I've had to be with partners and be like, so are you gonna do this? Or, like, should I finish this? Because, like, somebody's gonna have to, or I'm just gonna be waddling home with swollen bits and, like, very displeased. So let's make a choice here.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a difference between, like, you have to do this thing you don't want to do, and I know you think this is a sexy, fun game, but you're wrong.
Yeah.
See, I've never experienced that. Like, mm-hmm. I get really sexually frustrated and stuff, especially, again, hi, hello, I'm on testosterone. I want to be having sex, always.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, like, I've never had, like, a physical sensation from, like, not getting off. My body is always just, like, kind of accepts it and is like, oh, we're not? Okay, that's fine. Let's go get ice cream.
So for me, it's, like, a slightly painful, like, a dull ache in my clit. And what's interesting is that actually it's very similar to me to a sensation I get at the very beginning of a UTI, like when I'm just getting a UTI. So sometimes when I start to get a UTI, I think I'm just super horny and I, like, jerk off a bunch and I think that that'll fix it. And then if that doesn't fix it, I'm like, oh, I guess I'm getting a UTI. And I tried to explain this to a friend of mine one time. I was like, you know, when you, like, get really turned on and you don't come and then there's, like, this weird pressure in your bits. And she was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I do sometimes get a similar sensation if I don't squirt. Like, if I do a lot of G-spot stuff. God, I hate that word. If I do a lot of, like, G-spot stuff and I don't ejaculate,
mm-hmm.
then sometimes I get that, like, pressure-y feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it, like, takes me a really long time to kind of identify, like, oh, that's what that is, right?
Mm-hmm. So, like, when you are having trouble reaching orgasm, are there tricks you use? Are there fail-safe things you do that can help you get over that hump, so to speak?
Yeah. If it's an ejaculation thing, I get my 11 or my swan wand now, or something that's, like, super, super G-spotty. Mm-hmm. Other times, I just kind of... Usually the magic wand and, like, a large insertable, like the Leroy or the Outlaw or something like that. And then just kind of my Rolodex of ridiculously hot things. And I have, like, a couple of, like, catchphrases that I go to that, like... Those are the things. We all have those.
I'm laughing in recognition because, yes, me too.
Yeah. Like those certain sentences. One of the things my body does, like, naturally is that I'll kind of, like, tense up and hold my breath.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brain just kind of runs with that and, you know, imagines a dummy person, like, you know, choking me or whatever and, like, you know, you'll be allowed to breathe again when you come for daddy and, like, things like that.
Yeah.
Or, like, I'll think about a lot of times, like, fisting and, you know, your sir needs you to take his whole fist and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which are usually kind of enough, like, a lot of pushing of limits and, like, you're right there, I just need you to do it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I've also lately super been into the idea of someone... forcing me to come because they like how it feels around their dick.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like... it's just like, no, daddy needs to feel it some more. Like, no, do it again. And, like, not really focused on it feeling good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing what they know will get me off so that they can feel that some more.
Yep. Yep. That is one of the things for me,
too. So that's been there a lot. Yeah.
I had one in my last relationship. Oh, my God. Fuck. So he was very good at going down on me, but oral sex is one of those things that, like, if I'm having a hard time coming that day, that's not the optimum way to do it because it's such a gentle form of stimulation comparatively. But I would notice that if I was having a hard time coming from his mouth on me, I would think this thought, and I'm going to tell you right now, folks, trigger warning, there is some implied... incest roleplay in what I'm about to say and DDLG stuff, but I would imagine that that my daddy would be like, you know, when I finger your clit and you come, I'm gonna do that with my mouth and it'll feel even better. And then little girl me would be like, with your mouth, why would you do that, daddy? And he would be like, no, trust me, like, it's gonna feel so good, you're gonna come in my mouth. And I would be like, in your mouth? Like, and, like, for some reason, this thought, like, always made me come if I was having a hard time. God, it's, like, really embarrassing to talk about that.
No, I totally get that. I definitely, like, have some, like, a lot of my fantasies are in that, like, corruption of innocence kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I do have a lot of stuff along that vein that will also come up. That stuff, honestly, I usually think of, like... Because it's more elaborate, I wind up thinking about it earlier because I need, like, the one or two sentences right when I'm, like, on the cusp.
Mm-hmm.
I need, like, something quick and easy. My brain is not high functioning at that point.
Yeah, no. I've been keeping an orgasm spreadsheet all year, which is a new thing for me. Like, I had kept a sex spreadsheet previously, but this one is, like, I'm literally tracking every orgasm I have, whether solo or with a partner. And one of the columns in the spreadsheet is, like, what I was thinking about or what porn I was watching or what erotica I was reading when I came. And it's been so, like, humbling to have to make a note of that because sometimes it's, like, such an embarrassing thought. And, like, they're not really that embarrassing, but it's just, like, it's very vulnerable to, like, really honestly make a note of what was actually going through your head that made you come, because sometimes it's, like, I judge myself real hard for it. It's a lot of just, like, be a good girl and come for daddy. Like, if I keep fucking you really deep like that, are you gonna come for me like a good girl? Like, it's just, like, it's the same shit over and over again, or it tends to be. But it's, like, there's something so embarrassing about that to me, of, like, admitting what you were thinking about.
Yeah, sometimes I get embarrassed because I'm like, really, the simplest fucking thing?
Yeah.
That was, really, of all the filthy shit you're into, it was that. and I'm like, yeah, shut up. And then other times I'm like, whoa, that is some rather intense, edgy things that we're probably not going to talk about, and let's just repress that back into the back of our minds. We don't need to go there. It's fine.
Fuck That and Fuck Yeah is our weekly segment where we tell you something we hate and something we love, and this week we're talking about orgasms. What is your Fuck That this week?
My Fuck That is every time that Cosmo and everyone else likes them decides to come up with 16 different types of orgasms. Because, like... So, on the one hand, yes, it is kind of cool in that it encourages people to explore different things and... you know, explore their bodies and different ways of arousal and all that stuff. But on the other hand, I think it's more often that it manifests as really shamey and like, but you haven't had the, like, upside-down, ass-backwards, G-spot perineum orgasm yet? What are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
Come on. There are all these levels of pleasure that you could be reaching and you're not because you're a sexual failure. and it's really gross. I've had people come to me after workshops and, like, I had someone come up to me and be like, you know, first thing that this person said to me was, hi, I need to learn to be able to open up my vagina and take more dick. Okay.
Goals.
Great. Let's start talking. Nice to meet you. So I went through, you know, sizing up for girth. This is a thing that I know a lot about. And was talking lube and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, well, I need to take more dick so that I can come. Because I've never come before. I was like, oh. Okay, let's take a few steps back. Flawed
premise.
Re-examine this question. I start talking about the clit. Going into that a little bit more. And she goes, oh, no. Like, after a little bit of clit talk, she's like, no, I've had, like, clit orgasms. But, like, I haven't had real orgasms.
Ugh.
And I was like, okay, let's talk some more. and I think just all these weight that people put on, like, different types of orgasms and, like, the G-spot orgasm and, like, you know, anal orgasms as all, like, completely distinct different experiences. Like, you can just cue them up on a jukebox and get, like, a different one every time. And that's never been my experience of orgasms. Like... I do have orgasms that somewhat feel more clit-focused or more penetration-focused or come about from different types of stimulation, but it's not like I'm, like, entering the cheat code and unlocking a new orgasm in my body. Like, I feel like they kind of all come from the same core, and that's not really how the media talks about it.
I mean, I do experience myself as having different types of orgasms, but I agree that, like, they're all basically from the same place. There's this scene in the book Vagina by Naomi Wolf, which is a really fascinating read, where she's talking to her gynecologist, and the doctor kind of mentions that, like, depending on the different ways that your pelvic nerve happens to branch, that might affect which parts of your anatomy are more or less sensitive and more or less receptive to being touched. And Naomi is kind of like, you realize that this has been a topic of debate for, like, decades, and you just, like, told me the answer. Like, there's all this debate about, like, is a G-spot orgasm a real orgasm? And is, like, are all orgasms really clitoral, etc.? Like, why are some people more into clit stuff and some people are more into penetration, whatever? And it's maybe just has to do with, like, how your pelvic nerve branches, which I think is really interesting because, yeah, like you're saying, like, there are so many people who are like, oh, you have a G-spot, it will feel pleasurable, you just have to find it and, like, stimulate it the right way or whatever about any particular piece of anatomy. And it's like, I happen to know about myself that G-spot stuff is not my favorite thing. And if I wasn't, like, inundated with sex educator knowledge all the time from the people I hang out with, I might think of myself as being somewhat broken for that. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Do what feels good to you.
Yeah. So anyway, what's your fuck yeah? Fuck that. What are we doing? Yeah. How does this game work?
My fuck that is partners who lack the ability to be consistent. I don't mean...
Okay, listen, sometimes my arm feels like it's going to fall off, okay?
I know. I get it. But what I've learned about myself is that I really need consistent rhythm. And often the note I have to give to partners is like, I really need you to just keep doing that exactly like you're doing it when I get close to coming. Which for me feels like a fairly intuitive instruction. Like when I'm going down on someone and I can feel that they're close to coming, I definitely keep doing what I'm doing unless I physically cannot sustain it. But I feel right. like so many dudes I know just like don't understand that that's a thing. I don't know if it's maybe not as much a thing for them, so they just don't think of it. But it's, yeah, I've had to like tell partners a few times. It's really interesting how I notice when I'm jerking off that even if I deviate from my own rhythm for whatever reason, it kind of kills my progress towards orgasm. And it's interesting how like you hear all the time about how like the G-spot and the internal erogenous zones respond to like rhythm and pressure, whereas the clit, it like responds to like more minute nuanced sensations. Anyway, rhythm, it's yeah. a good thing.
Well, and also I think there's this narrative that they're like, oh, you know, they're getting close, better up the ante, and
yeah,
that's
faster,
not
harder,
like, yeah. Doing the same thing doesn't mean do the same thing harder. It doesn't right. mean do the same thing faster. It means do the same goddamn thing.
And I do sometimes need it faster or harder if I'm, like,
then
right
you
on
say
the edge.
That.
Yeah, I say that, exactly. Well, what I actually say is more, because that's one syllable and it's easier to get out. And sometimes I think it confuses partners because they're like, more, do you mean faster, harder? Like, what are you... And I kind of just mean all of those things.
This but more.
Yeah.
It's very clear.
Just increase everything. What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is actually going to be cum, which is not a thing that I was super into in the past. Like, it was always just like, yay, orgasms. Oh, also there's cum. Cool. That
You've
happens.
Really come around on it.
I really
say.
Have, though. Like, I've been super into, like, cum as a sign of orgasm and, like, being filled with it or covered in it and playing with it and whatever, partially as a sign of, like, the ownership kink stuff, and just, I don't know, it's been, like, really, really hot to me lately, mm-hmm. so that's cool.
Interesting.
What about you? What's your fuck yeah?
God, I mean, I also like cum. That could really be my fuck yeah every week,
I know.
Let's be real.
Oof,
I've really come to enjoy it, if you know what I'm saying. But my fuck yeah is finding tricks that make orgasms more intense, which is really cool and makes me feel like a fucking genius that, like, after all these years of having orgasms, I can still find level-ups occasionally. But, like, one thing, I think I originally got this from the Barbara Corellis book I talked about earlier, Urban Tantra. She talks about how deep, slow, long breaths kind of help circulate sexual energy throughout your whole body, whereas, like, faster, shallower breaths kind of, like, up the ante of your excitement, but also keep the pleasure a little bit more localized, which I have found to be true. And that's actually something that my friend Caitlin Roberts said to me when I went for a sexy, sexological bodywork erotic massage with her. She was like, deep, slow, long breaths will spread it throughout you, spread the sensation through your body, and then, like, you can increase your excitement with shorter ones. And I've been using that lately. I'll do, like, the deep, slow, long breaths as I'm, like, building up to orgasm, and then as I start to get really super close, I start with the shorter, shallower breaths, and it really, like, very quickly increases my arousal. It's really interesting how that works. And I also like tricks like if you hang your head off the side of the bed, sometimes it can make things more intense, or like using a big firm toy versus a soft squishy one produces different sensations, and like the muscle contractions that happen at orgasm feel really different depending on what's inside you and the size of it and the texture of it. Man, I love getting nerdy about orgasm.
Yeah, that's, it actually reminds me a little bit of how my partner has also figured out some of the hacks to make it easier for me to get off,
mm-hmm.
Especially some of those things we were talking about earlier of, like, the language I think about and things like that,
mm-hmm.
And we've kind of learned to hack my body in, like, a power exchange sort of way, where in, like, a forced orgasm kind of thing.
Ugh, so good.
Yeah, and, like, kind of... not totally, but, like, toying with the ideas of, like, orgasm conditioning and things like that, where you can train someone to come on command.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of edging towards that area, but not really playing with that specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been, like, super fun and, like, really, really cool in, like, a power exchange kind of way.
Ugh, so hot.
I know.
Thanks for coming with us on this episode of the Dildorks. Hope it wasn't too anticlimactic for you. Wink, wink.
Oh.
I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net. Oh god, I have a really, really good and very vulnerable post going up on Thursday of this week. Fuck. Y'all are really gonna like it, and I would love if you could check it out. It's called The Departed Dominant and the Jilted Submissive. Oof, even the title gives me feelings. It's like a very sad essay about what it's like when your dominant dumps you, which is, the answer is very difficult and sad. So check that out this week. You can also check out my portfolio at katewritesaboutsex.com, because I do write about sex. I don't know if you noticed. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where's your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at bextalksex.com. I just updated it, and it is beautiful, and I'm obsessed with it. So go take a look at the website. It's so pretty. There's leather, y'all.
The leather. Ugh, it's the best
so
part.
So good. I also added a page there with all of my workshops and other teaching offerings. You can go check that out at bextalksex.com/workshops.
You should hire this babe to teach. I just saw them give a workshop here in Toronto about online dating and sexting, and it was so engaging and so funny. You're a really, really good educator. I don't know if you know
no,
that.
No, shucks. you can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BexTalkSex. Together, we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find our website at thedildorks.com. You can also find us on all your favorite podcast apps where you can rate and review us. Helps us show up higher in search rankings. We're right now listed, or right on the cusp every time I check, of being listed as one of the top 100 sex podcasts on iTunes. So go rate and review us and help us move up a little bit more in the rankings. It'll make me smile. I also did want to give a shout out to Simi on Twitter, who won our contest for our 1 year anniversary and is getting a pure wand in the mail.
Congratulations.
Yes, they tweeted, I'm not sure of their pronouns, so we're going they them, but they tweeted a link to one of the episodes way back at the beginning where I talked about being spanked with a machete, which, by the way, I totally forgot ever happened to me, but that was great. They tweeted a quote from the episode where I said, yeah, he hit me with a machete, and then later referred to what we did as making love, which is still hilarious to me.
So romance. If you want to tweet something at us this week, I would be interested in hearing what the recipe is for your ideal orgasm, which for me would be like a partner's fingers deep inside me, plus a vibe on my clit, plus filthy daddy dom little girl dirty talk, plus a hand on my chest.
Equals orgasm!
Yeah, oh yeah, I forgot the equals. Whoops. I was wondering why you were still staring at
this
me.
This is
like,
math! You can also find us at patreon.com/thedildorks, where you can get all kinds of perks. We just came up with a great idea for our next live show. I'm so excited about it.
Oh my god, it's going to be weird,
it's
gonna
y'all. It's going to be so good. So head on over there to Patreon to get access to that.
Thank you so much to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song. His music is all at Bandcamp if you search Protodome. And thank you also to Amy Gardner, who is at Starboots_ on Twitter, for having done our logo. She is fantastic.
She was super great. She also helped me redesign my website, so she is the reason I have that pretty leather on there.
Just the loveliest person. Go buy art from her. She's the best. Until next time, folks. Get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye. I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger. And oh, I don't know. Who am I? What do I do? Okay. Try that again. Side note. I have to talk to you about A-spot things. Because I think I like my A-spot.
You always liked really deep stuff, though. I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. Well, so I think I use my Outlaw for A-spotting, and I think that's why I like it better than my Maverick right now. Because it can get deeper. Mm-hmm. But, like, it doesn't have the, like, thin, curved, tapered head that I would associate with A-spotting.
I think that that depends on how your cervix is shaped, because, like, I've never understood why my double trouble is so good for that. Like, it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, but I feel like probably, like, the lip of the head, the ridge around the head is probably tugging on the, like, A-spot.
Mm-hmm.
The way it would on a G-spot.
Yeah.
I noticed that a couple of days ago when I was jerking off. I was like, wait, is this the A-spot? I need to talk to Kate.
Yeah, probably. I find it feels really different from G-spot stuff for me, which is how I differentiate it, but it's, like, hard for me to, like, verbally describe how it's different.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, huh, this is different. Okay, anyway. It felt very different, but also very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it felt like G-spot from a different G-spot.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, from a different place and in a different way, but still the same kind of pressure-y sensation.
Okay.
Anyway, it's like when you get mint chocolate chip ice cream from another company. Like, I always get Edie's, but when I get Breyers, you know, it's still mint chocolate chip, but it's just different. It's like that, but with my genitals. I have killed her.
I'm fine. I'm alive.
Okay.
What's your fuck yeah?
I had one and it's gone. Give me a second. I got distracted.
Babe, write them down.
Oh. What was my fuck yeah last week? Was my fuck yeah noises last week? Because my fuck yeah was going to be noises.
Just make it always noises.
Great.
Noises are evergreen and good. Hey, what's your fuck yeah?
Just like, hey. Hey you, over there.
What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is, give me a second, I'm sorry.
Oh my god, I've given you so many seconds.
I know, but we keep talking.
Write it down.
I did write it down, I just don't like it anymore.
Me looking at my old blog post.